Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of WikiCuriosity Media or its WikiCuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on WikiCuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the WikiCuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of Behind the Screen Movie of the Week. I'm Dan.
I'm Austin.
Alex.
Angel.
That didn't go this way. That's okay. And we're all in the studio together. And you can join us as well. That was horrible. That was a horrible introduction. Yeah, you can join us as well, 718-664-9735, or join us on the Facebook live stream. If you can't find the Facebook live stream, just open the search bar, type in Behind the Screen Radio Show. Be the first one that pops up. Quick like, share, and follow. Be kept up to date. Go head on over to WikiCuriosity Media's Facebook page. Give them a like and a follow. That way you're kept up to date on what's going on in WikiCuriosity Media land. I'm going to need you to sign up to the phone, man. From the Facebook page, you can head up to the website, www.wikicuriosity.website.com/WC Media, to click on the link. On the webpage, you can find out information about our shows, information about your hosts. You can also access archive episodes of every show that broadcasts on WikiCuriosity Media. You can also head on over to iTunes to check out archived episodes. You can just type in WikiCuriosity Media up in the search bar. Also, we have a YouTube channel, WikiCuriosity Media. I believe that we are in the process of kind of updating the Facebook page or retooling it.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not the social media person. That's all you, baby.
I'm not the social media person.
The website.
Yeah, you said the Facebook page.
Oh, okay. We're currently in the process of updating the website.
Yeah.
Okay. And adding new content to our YouTube channel, so please bear with us. Things have been a little hectic for the Curiosity family, so we're reorganizing, retooling, but we'll get everything back on a track. It's Sunday night.
It is.
Another week over, another week beginning. Anything interesting? Yes, no, maybe?
Nothing on my
end. No. This will be my last Sunday show while I'm down here.
Last Sunday in the studio or last Sunday period?
While I'm down here.
Yeah.
In the studio.
Yeah. So this is Alex's last in-studio show with us.
That's not true.
For a while.
Okay.
Are we now doing one Wednesday?
Last movie of the week studio.
So like I said, this is my last Sunday show.
Yes. Yeah. Hey.
There you go.
I'm all over the place tonight.
Overthinking.
I need more alcohol.
Yeah.
This show brought to you by alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Not for me. Yet another sober show.
But,
yay me.
Yeah. Anything else? Anybody?
Not for me.
Bueller? Well, I've got my mouth full of chicken nuggies.
Well, tomorrow, our oldest daughter turns 17.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me while I sit over here and cry into my tater tots.
No. So she's turning 17 tomorrow.
Yeah.
And last Friday, Miss Angel and I celebrated 11 years together. We played D&D and had pizza.
We did.
That was our
welcome to 11 years.
That was our anniversary date night.
And Tuesday is Dean's birthday.
Yay.
Although, I did get my very first birthday present today from the Godfather.
You did?
I got a really awesome set of cornhole boards. One is Marines, one is the Army. And the cool thing that he didn't even realize was that the center ring, the hole, actually has an LED light in it. So you can see it at night, which is fucking awesome.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I dig it.
So it was an awesome first gift. It's an awesome gift. And one of the boards down at the bottom has a string that's wrapped around two hooks that what we're thinking and what is likely the answer and what Austin came up with is that it's the distance between the two boards.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You unravel it and then you...
Find nylon so you can see it at night.
Yeah. So you can measure out the distance between the two boards.
You're welcome.
He's so smart.
He is. So... But
I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two.
We're not farmers.
We have farmer stands. Bum, 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 bum.
So, but yeah, that was awesome. Thank you, Godfather. I'll be posting those on my personal page. So if you're not a friend of mine on the personal page, I'm sorry. Maybe they'll get posted on the social media page.
Okay.
Yeah. So. All right. I don't think there's really anything interesting going on.
PSA.
Yeah.
If we run into technical difficulties this evening, it's because we are experiencing some stormy weathers.
Yes. Yes. We currently have a thunderstorm approaching us. We can hear rumbling in the background.
It was pretty loud before you got home.
Yeah. I know. I heard it at work today.
We heard it right over the house.
It was going on while I was making a hammer.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was quite rumbly.
Yeah, it was right over my work. So, I'm trying to think of what else, anything happening this week, other than Katie's birthday.
It's exciting, though.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, because there's really nothing that has happened in the movie world at all. There is something I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
So I came across, the other day, last Wednesday, on Cinephiles, Alex and I, well, all of us, but we really discussed trailers.
Yeah.
While I was looking through other trailers on my phone, I came across a Disney Plus series that's in the works. I don't know how I feel about this because I watched the movie growing up.
Is it a confirmed Disney Plus series or is it a rumored?
It's a confirmed Disney Plus series because I saw... Okay, let me...
Are you going to really say the word confirmed without confirming it?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Okay. I want to make sure it's on Disney Plus. Hold on. Yeah, it's a Disney show.
Okay.
So I really liked the TV show or the movie. And I don't know. So it's So it's actually supposed to release on Wednesday.
What is it?
Turner and Hooch.
There's a show?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, with Josh Peck.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's not the pedophile.
I know. The Turner and Hooch was Tom Hanks and the Hooch.
Yeah. Yeah. So it releases this Wednesday. There are 12 episodes that have been commissioned, and they will drop on the Disney Plus streaming service each Wednesday.
The thing is, it was a cute movie, but it wasn't a blockbuster, and I don't know that it was, like, substantial enough to make a whole show out of it. That's reaching.
I would honestly have to agree 100%. On break, I will, you know, bring up the trailer, and we can watch it. But, yeah, Disney Plus is coming out with a Turner and Hooch TV series. I was not excited about that.
No, I don't think it's going to do well. It might go a season, but I don't. First of all, our kids have zero idea what the fuck Turner and Hooch is or why it should be anything meaningful to them. Secondly, it wasn't that meaningful to me.
No.
Or most of us as kids.
Oh, it was a cute movie. I mean, it wasn't
like, I got to watch that again and again and again.
No, I mean, it was a good Tom Hanks movie, and I really do like Tom Hanks as an actor.
Not as a pedophile, but as an actor, yes.
Yeah. But...
Tom Hanks is a pedophile? What?
He was on the Epstein list.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And he officially became a...
Greek citizen of Greece.
Yeah, citizen of Greece, and they don't have pedophiles.
Right. Well, right as things started to hit the fan, he became a citizen over there where there's no extradition. And pedophilia is seen as a mental health issue over a crime.
Mm. Yeah.
So, there you go. There's your little blurb for the day. Call me a bitch.
All he really had to do was just move back to California. They should see it as a...
issue.
As a mental health issue versus a crime.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of both, isn't it?
It is, but...
You're not going to get in trouble for it in California.
You will. They didn't actually pass those laws. Those laws were squashed.
Good.
Psych wards are also horrible.
They are.
Yeah.
You have a dad.
One of the follies of having a studio...
That was going to be something serious, like somebody fell down and hurt their leg or something that required four adults.
Listen, there are so many adults in this house right now. One who is on duty downstairs.
And
children.
All
is
I hear,
an adult?
All I
am.
All I hear is, can I have a soda? Like,
what? You want a soda?
That father is literally downstairs. Not doing anything.
Richter!
He's watching something.
He's probably watching Vikings right now.
He could probably, hey, can I have a soda? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's a yes or no there somewhere.
Anyway.
Sorry for the rude interruption.
Oh.
I obviously see it as a crime, but it is also a mental health issue.
It is, because there's something wrong with your brain that doesn't have the ability to stop whatever impulses are happening.
Is that with all people that have been charged with pedophilia, or is that with
whether it has to do with another mental illness or trauma?
I was going to say trauma is a huge one too, because 90% of pedophiles were probably molested or introduced to over sexualization as a child.
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
over repression as a child.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know. I think it's really, really important, those of us who are normal parents and not sickos, have very open talks with our kids about appropriateness and sexuality and all the things that go along with it. Don't pretend like your kids are just going to magically find everything out, because when they do find out, it's probably from the wrong source.
Like kids at school.
Or other adults who have bad intentions.
Yeah.
Anyway, Turner and Hooch.
Turner and Hooch.
Non-pedophile edition.
Non-pedophile. So Josh Peck is supposed
Who's
to...
That?
He's Drake and Josh.
Oh. Didn't Drake just...
Drake Bell.
Yeah, Drake.
Yeah.
He got charged. Well, he had probation for child endangerment.
Yeah, it was a little more than child endangerment.
AKA pedophilia.
He was sharing things that he shouldn't have been sharing with underage people.
Yeah. What is he now? He's old now.
Yeah, he was probably sending dick pics. Let's all be honest.
He's not that old. But he's
old enough. Man's got some wrinkly eyes.
How old were the people? They were
minors.
Yeah.
So 16 and under.
16 and under is all I know.
Okay.
I don't think they'll disclose that information.
It's still pretty gross, though.
That's
Jeffree Star type shit.
It's all bad.
It gets worse as it gets younger, though.
You mean James Charles?
Yeah. What?
James Charles.
And Jeffree Star.
Jeffree Star, I think, was just a homewrecker.
Yeah, Jeffree Star
was
pretty
gross too, though.
Well, but you can't just accuse him of things that he didn't do.
I thought he did those things. Sorry.
He was just a homewrecker.
James Charles. Yeah.
Jeffree Charles.
We'll call him that. You're now one of the same. That was a joke, guys. I'm not spreading rumors or misinformation. It's a joke.
I don't think people care about this.
Sorry.
It's not a news outlet. Nobody's gonna
people cancel people for worse things, easier things, better things. I don't know.
For the best.
So he's been accused numerous times of sexual assault.
Who is this?
Jeffree Star.
That's not pedophilia. That's
one of them involving an underage boy.
That's pedophilia.
There you go. I'm taking back my apology.
Everybody in Hollywood ends up having something wrong with a sexual assault case or pedophilia.
That's because they're all gross. I don't know why.
It's dangerous.
But it's like a cesspool of...
Jeffree Star accused of groping underage boy at concert.
Yeah.
That's bad.
But then he has nothing to do with what they represent.
Yep, James Charles.
Or anything like that. I'm not going down that road, but it seems like a lot of these social media influencers, more and more we see a lot of these males and females are just inappropriate people.
I want to know what happened to the whole Christy Teigen thing.
Oh, she's a cancel. People don't talk about her.
James Charles, groomed a 17-year-old.
He did that, and he
groped a boy at a concert.
Groomed.
No, we're talking.
She's talking about Jeffree Star.
Yeah.
You're talking about James Charles.
Again.
James Charles. He groomed a 17-year-old.
He groomed a 17-year-old.
So gross.
He threatened a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of underage people. And then he went on a I think it was a Logan Paul's podcast, and says, I don't even like younger kids. I like older men. And then he got caught with a younger kid.
Ouch.
That was awkward. He was going to fly out a kid from, like, Texas or something.
That was the 17-year-old.
That's gross.
He got canceled for, like, a month.
He's been canceled multiple times.
He quit YouTube, and then he came.
Yeah.
I think it counts as canceling if people don't get on it enough to actually cancel.
Yeah. As far as Christy Teigen, she's in cancel. People just don't talk about her because she has now literally become irrelevant.
She needs to become in jail.
True, but...
What did she do? I'm not up to date on a lot of these.
That's like a TikTok person, right?
Well,
Christy Teigen,
she's
married to...
John Legend.
Yeah.
She's a model.
Oh.
She was a model.
No,
John Legend has tried to separate himself from her so many times in public because she talks like a dumpster fire. And has made several tweets about how she, you know, fantasizes about, you know, babies, the show, like, toddlers and tiaras, the little boys, and the tweets that she made were pretty gross. And then she was like, I mean, I didn't even mean it that way. But she said, so, ew. And she literally, over time, she just can't fucking shut her mouth, man.
Some people,
she's a walking dumpster fire. She just shouldn't, yeah, no. She
even if
should,
she, even
when
she
your
wasn't
husband
famous,
walks away
she still
from
has
you,
thoughts.
When your husband walks away from you during an interview because you won't shut your fucking mouth, he's like, I'm not associated, and goes over here.
How come he hasn't, like, divorced her yet?
Maybe she has something on him. I don't know. They got kids together. She probably uses that.
Because they were, like, the wonder couple of Hollywood for a while there, weren't they?
Yeah.
And then...
Since she opened her mouth.
Most wonder couples are pretty shitty couples.
Yeah.
recent one with Jennifer Lopez and A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And they split up quick, and she went back to Ben Affleck.
Yeah. A-Rod is always...
Within 2 months.
Literally never, since the Mariners, since after he left the Mariners, I've never been a fan of A-Rod. He's kind of a dick.
He was Yankees.
He was also a Mariner. He started there. He was very young. I had a huge crush on him.
Well, his drug issues were with the Yankees.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Once he left Seattle, as usual, once he left Seattle, he turned into a piece of shit. So.
Well, this is a...
started roiding us.
Which is weird, because Seattle is like the computer cafe central of assholes.
The thing is with sports people, if you're big in Seattle, once you leave any Seattle team...
You fail.
You instantly become non-existent. I mean, you look at Matt Hasselbeck. He was... And I know this is kind of off topic, but
I might have to disagree.
Matt Hasselbeck?
Not with that, but with the Seattle thing.
Oh, I
there's
absolutely
multiple
agree.
Athletes that have come out of Seattle and absolutely blown up.
No.
Kevin Durant, he played for the Seattle Sonics, and then they got turned into
we're
the Thunder.
We're not talking about basketball.
Okay, so that is not
basketball
really,
like the
that's
biggest
not really coming out of Seattle. That's sticking with the same team.
He left the Thunder.
Okay, but he didn't leave Seattle.
Because he went with them when they became Thunder.
He was the Seattle, and then one was the Thunder.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
blew up
yeah.
the Seattle Sonics when he was with them for, like, the season.
Yeah.
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 But then the Seattle Sonics turned into...
Oklahoma Thunder.
Oklahoma Thunder, and then when he left Thunder, which is fine, he became really
he
did
not, yeah, he didn't leave Seattle, though. He left Oklahoma.
Yeah,
but
he was
look
big
at,
in that same.
It's the area.
If you,
I'm telling you, it's the area.
If you look at Major League Baseball players, Major League or National, whatever.
Gary Payton.
If you look at
Sean Kemp.
Baseball and football.
Sean Kemp really didn't do much after he left the Mariners.
He wasn't Mariners. Sean Kemp is a basketball.
I mean,
athletics.
Who was that?
I knew that.
I
don't even like basketball.
I have a fucking jersey. I don't know why I didn't think of that. I didn't remember. I was thinking, who was I thinking? I was thinking of Griffey.
Ross.
Griffey failed.
Look at
failed.
Oh, God, you were just talking about him. He's about the 49ers now. Left Seattle.
Yeah, our quarterback.
Marshawn.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch. No.
Not
no.
Marshawn Lynch. Whoa. Play your role. No.
No, not Marshawn Lynch.
It was Richard Sherman.
Yes,
it's
Sherman. Yes.
They're the sorry people to me.
Who's our quarterback?
Russell Wilson?
No, Russell Wilson.
Yeah. No, he has blatantly come out and said, I'm not leaving the Seahawks.
Because they made him.
Yeah. Like, he's sticking with them.
He's their golden boy.
He gets a better offer.
No,
he's
only when he retires because he's already broken his body down.
But he's had many offers, and he's turned them all down. He's like, no, I'm not leaving the Seahawks. I'm not leaving Pete Carroll.
He's like Kobe Bryant, not leaving the Lakers.
Yeah.
Although Kobe put in a trade a while back from the Lakers, but he never took it.
But, I mean, if you look at Russell Wilson, when he was drafted, he was third-string quarterback. And they put him in the pregame, the preseason. And he was so phenomenal that they made him regular season. And he just fucking took the Seahawks. He took the Seahawks.
He's an amazing leader.
To the fucking Super Bowl.
The only time that he has come close to
the first one against the Steelers.
We haven't gone to
the. No, I was thinking about Russell Wilson's Super Bowl appearance.
He did take him to the Super Bowl twice.
Yeah.
Lost the other. You're right. Yeah. He lost the other because there was a bad call between him and Pete Carroll.
Yeah. Me and my mom were not Seahawks fans or Patriots fans when we were watching it. And that final play happened. And I looked at my mom. I was like, what was he thinking?
Yeah.
Everybody said that. What the fuck?
Yeah, and he came on, and he's like, that last play, that was all my fault. I could have called an audible because I saw it, but I went with it, and...
It was a bad call.
It was a bad call, and that was my fault. And that's one of the things that I like about Russell Wilson.
I like about him. He failed.
But he admits it.
He can take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not one to say, to put blame everywhere else. He's like...
That was all me. Like, I fucked up.
Yeah. When we win, we as a team win. It's not me. I was the best. We were the best. If we lose, he takes credit.
Did they play football this year? Did we miss a whole football season?
No. They played last year. We won.
They didn't get anywhere significant.
No.
They did not.
No, last year it was the Buccaneers and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
That was an interesting game.
Yeah.
I don't really care about football. I only care about the Seahawks.
Patrick Mahomes absolutely rocked. His offense, or his line, totally fell apart on him.
Yeah.
A bunch of memes that came out after that. Him running and just trying to throw. He got it off every time, though.
Yeah.
He was able to throw it. But it's just really funny.
All right, well, this is not sports, boys. This is a behind-the-screen radio show. It's supposed to be talking about movies.
Tangent.
We went off on a tangent and ate up our time.
You
what
did.
We do.
And that
look,
was
the first
nightly
half
tangent.
Hour is whatever the fuck we want. It's not anything related specifically to anything. And on, you know, going back to Turner and Hooch.
Yes.
One thing that I'm excited about is that Reginald Bell Johnson is going to be in it. He was the dad in Family Matters.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah. So he's going to be...
Are they using the same kind of dog?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Using an English...
That would have been horrible. Like, don't change the whole dog.
No, no. It's the same dog. It's a little younger.
German Shepherd.
But, all right. At Miss Angel's behest, we're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll be right back.
So disappointed.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Dripping down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave. And these will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost. And I ain't too proud. If you love me, you would hold me. Never let me go. If you love me, you would tell me. You never want me to be alone. If you cared at all, you would stop. Never go. But you just turn your back to me and say, I guess I'd
you never want me.
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
And we're back. If you want to talk to us, call in. 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. Or you can hit us up on the live feed, which was absolutely nobody on it. But that's okay. Tonight, we're talking about a movie that was suggested to us by our 10-year-old.
Yes.
She's been trying to get us to watch it for...
Since it came out.
The past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks. 2 weeks, yeah, probably 2 weeks. Yeah. So, we're talking about the new Disney Pixar movie, Luca. It is an animated film, just came out on Disney Plus, that is basically a story about friendship, and that's about it.
So it's a coming-of-age story.
It's a coming-of-age. It's a friendship story. It's a...
different environment story.
Different environment.
Exploring something new.
Yeah.
Learning.
Just a little bit.
It's...
learning.
Animated Boy Meets World.
Yeah, kind of. I mean...
it's very similar to Boy Meets World.
To a point.
Watch Boy Meets World.
So there was a lot of chatter, a lot of back and forth chatter. Now, the stance on Disney's side is that this is literally set for prepubescent kids to avoid any reading between the lines type stuff, and that it was all platonic, whatever. But cool.
Between Alberto and Lucia.
Yeah,
okay.
But then you have a lot of chatter over here saying that Disney missed its mark because there were
subtleties
kind of leading that maybe Luca and Alberto's relationship was a little more than platonic. I don't know. I don't like to read into that kind of stuff. It's a fucking kids movie. I don't care.
Why?
They could have gone that way, and I still probably wouldn't have cared.
I think Alberto was looking at it, but I think Luca was hard set on that girl.
Maybe. But you could also look at it as Alberto, Julia.
Okay, it's spelled a lot different right here. It's G-I-U-L-I-A, okay?
Oh, shit. I don't know how to pronounce this.
Remember Julia?
Freaking
Julia.
Oh, my God.
It's spelled G-I-U-L-I-A.
That will never get old. People looking at IMDb is the best.
I kind of saw it more as, you know, we've all had those friendships where you're super close to me, you're their bestie, but their personality type is that they don't want to share that friendship, and watching your best friend suddenly become super close to somebody else, now you feel left out and angry and jealous.
That's basically what the whole premise of the storyline.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is, and this goes back to kind of the talk that we had, or the thing that we were talking about before the break, I don't understand why people have to go into everything with a sexual point of view. When I watched this movie, literally I saw it as Luca and Alberto having a friendship, and Alberto being jealous of Julia because Luca is learning things from Julia, spending a lot of time with Julia.
I think it's a little bit more than that, because Alberto was telling him things that weren't true. He was just telling him things. I think it was jealousy and him, like, finding out, like, oh, I'm not as smart as I think.
The people that are going into it with a sexual or romantic point of view are the opposite of you, because you're going into it with a platonic point of view. So both sides are just going into it and won't understand the other side.
Right, and to be fair, my 10-year-old did actually make a point of saying that she felt like maybe there was a little chemistry between Luca and Alberto in her less tactful way.
It's also upsetting whenever just nobody gets together, because then all these ships didn't sail.
Right?
Yeah. And then they're also children.
They are. And
children,
are.
Voicing children,
yeah.
Like, that's a child. Like, why why does there have to be a...
We don't need
kinda,
to put in subtones like that.
Why is there got to be that kind of connection?
Yeah.
I'm
going to
open up an incognito tab.
I do feel like...
But for me, it was... So, Alberto was, like, the top of the top, you know? He was just his own person, and Luca looked up to Alberto.
He finally felt cool. Like,
yeah.
He felt that attachment with somebody. He
right.
saw himself just picking up trash and stuff.
Yeah.
But then he found out, oh, this kid's never experienced this before.
So
I mean, I'm going to be Mr. Big Brother.
It really is city boy and country boy.
Yeah.
You know, and then Luca and Julia, Luca finds, you know, another type of friendship in Julia, and it's, she's showing him all these different kind of things, because Luca has that drive to learn more.
He's a curious kid.
He is. And Julia is teaching him all these things that she knows. I mean, with that text, with that trope throughout the movie, is very apparent, because, you know, he wants to go to school with Julia. He wants to learn. You know, and then it's Alberto finding out that he's not as smart as he... Finding out that the things that he was taught are wrong, and that can be difficult for people. And that's actually a really good... It's a really good lesson in the movie to show that, you know, sometimes you are wrong about things, and it's okay to be wrong, and you shouldn't be angry when you find out that the things that you believe in are wrong. And that was a really good subtextual lesson within the movie.
Mm-hmm. I like the part where there was gay jealousy.
So, I was actually, I've been leery about Disney movies lately, simply because of the political connotations that some of them have.
Yeah.
The undertones that some of them have. And it's just kind of...
There's always going to be propaganda in children's stuff, though.
There is.
It's been since the 20s.
I mean, there is. There's always propaganda. There's always subtext. There's always, you know, political ideations throughout any movie that you watch. But with this one, and with the last one that we watched, Raya and the Last Dragon.
I think it's Raya.
It's Raya.
Is it Raya?
Yeah.
Okay. Raya and the Last Dragon. Both of these movies were just fun movies to watch, where you didn't have to worry about any subtextual political ideations in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can pick apart the movie and you can, like what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and pick out subplots and tropes and, you know, subtext within the movie. But that's what we see. You know, somebody else is going to see it differently, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But with this movie, it was a fairly short movie. It was only, what, an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes, something like that.
Pretty standard.
It is, but hour and 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just one of those movies that just got to the plot of the movie and just moved throughout.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you.
I know. I was waiting for more.
It did that, yes. It did that thing.
That thing that you were talking about just now?
Yes, I agree with you.
Okay.
We agree?
Okay.
We're ready for your next point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the end of the show. Everybody have a good night.
Click the slide.
Okay. No. So I really like the storyline of the movie. It's about a curious kid, which is, you know, the basic premise of a lot of Disney movies, a lot of kids' stories, you know, whether it's the dangers of being curious or the rewards of being curious. And in each type of movie, like Snow White, And it shows the dangers of being curious more than it shows, not Snow White. Sleeping Beauty. It shows the dangers of being curious more than it shows the rewards.
Yeah.
Whereas in this movie, it shows the rewards, but also shows possible dangers.
Green dangers.
Yeah. And it's showing kids that, yes, it's great to be curious about the world around you. You shouldn't live in this little bubble, this little box that you live in. You know, explore the world around you. Find out what's out there. You never know who you're going to meet. You never know who you're going to become friends with, who's going to be your enemy, who's going to be somebody that you can trust, somebody that you can't trust. And the magnificent, just terrific things that are out there.
But most importantly, do it on a Vespa.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I liked how it didn't have the quintessential bad guy.
Yes, it did.
It had an antagonist.
You had an antagonist, but you didn't have the Maleficent, the Wicked Witch, or
different. That's a Disney princess.
Right, but in a lot of
Pixar movies, don't really have a Maleficent or a
Toy Story. There's not really an antagonist. They're just trying to not die as toys.
Yeah, they're not trying to get caught.
Well, I disagree, because in Toy Story 2, there was definitely an antagonist.
I can
do
a whole show on
Toy Story. There was a guy that was like that seller. He was an antagonistic force, but at the same time, it was a lot of that antagonism was from the characters being into stupid shit.
Yeah. What was that?
I could literally do 2 hours on this list of trivia facts.
Yeah.
But there was one central antagonist. He was an asshole.
He was a bully of the town.
He was the bully of the town, but he wasn't really out to, how do I put it? He was out to sabotage them.
He wasn't out to rule the world. He was just trying to keep his control and popularity in the town.
Yeah.
He doesn't care what else is out there.
Right.
The real antagonism was racism.
and I mean, that's actually a really good point of the movie.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie to showcase
people's
how
difference.
To look at differences in people. Yes.
Yeah.
People's differences. Exactly. You know, things that you've been told about other people and other species and other colors of people and stuff like that are not necessarily true. You know, not all white people are racist. Not all black people are gangsters. Not all natives are drunks.
I've never heard that.
Irish people are drunks.
I didn't, yeah.
Not all native people smoke a pipe. Go up.
Right. But, I mean, you know, all these
most things are alcoholics.
But, you know, all these typical, what's the word I'm looking for?
Stereotypes.
These typical stereotypes that we think of other people that are not the same race, the same color, the same gender as us, doesn't make them necessarily evil people or bad people.
So fun fact.
Yes.
Director Enrico Casarosa stated that he drew inspiration from the films of Hayao Miyazaki.
Hayao
starts with an H.
Really?
Yes.
Never heard of him.
Hayao Miyazaki.
Yes.
When creating the film, the character...
I thought you were talking about in movie. You're talking about his first name.
The character, Luca's original last name was Portoroso, a nod to Miyazaki's Porco Rosso. In the final version of the film, the character's surname was changed to the name of the town was changed, and the name of the town was changed to Portoroso. And in an interview by director Enrico Casarosa, He indicated that the plot of a shy, reserved kid who befriends a nonconformist type who pushes him into becoming more open is directly based on his own experience as a child. He also said to have spent as a kid summers at St. Terre, which is where the movie is set. And when he was asked why he chose Luca as the film's title, Casarosa said that he based the film on his friendship with his childhood friend, Alberto, but he couldn't just use his own name, Enrico,
yeah,
and chose Luca because it's simple and is pronounced well in American, too.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Luca's a fun name.
I like it.
I kind of like the name.
It's going to be my first child.
Luca?
Luca.
I like it.
So I will say that the aesthetics of the background of this movie.
The setting of the movie was really good.
It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, it was something that you would think...
Pixar animation for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, like, it's just... I love... Pixar and, like, Disney movies right now are the exact reason why all the movements that we're having right now are so amazing. It's because we get shit like this. We just get to see other cultures and just vibe with it.
Yeah.
And, like, we get to learn things that we didn't know before. That's been, like, the last couple of Disney movies. I'm fine with it. It's not like, oh, yes, I need my man saving a princess again. Like, no,
well, I love
fun.
It because he's really basing a lot of the background and the surrounding area of where he actually spent summers, and it's really based on a lot of, like, Genoa?
Yeah, I looked up...
Jesus.
No.
I looked up right after the movie where it took place in the Italian Riviera. It's like on the other side of the boot.
Mm-hmm.
Like that little
Riviera.
Cove right there.
Yeah.
You got the French Riviera, and then you got the French
Riviera.
Monaco.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is meant to be Genoa.
Yeah.
I loved it because he was using his own personal memories and personal experiences to create that world.
The thing is with the animation and with the background, you could honestly kind of feel like watching almost like a documentary on it. And just the way that they captured the essence of, I hate to use the term old world, that's kind of what it is. It's kind of set before the times of
cell phones and
cars. And, I mean, you have the Vespa, so obviously...
I think it was more of a 70s movie. Because they had trains and they had, like, modern schools where you wore uniforms and stuff.
It felt like it was set during the scares of sea monsters. It's like 60s,
70s. Yeah, I could agree with that. But kind of like a smaller town... where they wouldn't have a lot of cars and stuff like that, especially in Italy, where the roads are so small and narrow, where they weren't roads. They were literally paths and walkways and alleyways.
So do you remember when he was teaching Luca to shake hands and the greeting,
mm-hmm.
where he was saying, Piacere, Girolamo, Trompeta?
I'm sure you said that wrong.
I'm sure I did, but
probably.
He said that a few times, shaking hands with people, and obviously none of us knew what it meant. We can get the gap out of it, and it means roughly, nice to meet you. My name is Twisty Trombone.
So Alex looked it up, and my reasoning was the exact
reason. 50s and 60s.
The 60s?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, look at mom and dad, how their personality is and how they are.
And I really like the portrayal of Luca's parents in this.
You know who I really like? I really liked your dad.
The grandpa.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Me too.
He was the quintessential, like, Italian dad.
Yes.
He was the badass, the protector. But he had a heart. Because as soon as Julia was like, no, these are my friends, he was like, hey, motherfuckers,
don't stab
my daughter's friends.
He went after Alberto when he left, when they said he left. And, you know, like, basically, like, is he okay? I'm sure he is. Well, I'm going to go make sure.
They never did anything with that.
Yeah.
Sue family, two family.
Yeah. I loved it. I loved that part where he was obviously had a connection to that kid who needed a dad.
You can kind of see it when, right at the end of the movie, where Luca's going off to school. And Luca's like, you know, Alberto, you need to come with me. And Alberto's like, no, I'm fine. And he's with Julia's dad. And, you know, Julia's dad kind of took him under, you know, took him under his wing, and because he's only got one. sorry.
Wow. His name is Marco Baldo.
Marco Baldo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, teaching him how to be successful in life.
Yeah.
You know, it's, again, it's the, you have that split right there where it's teaching kids that, yes, it's okay to go to school and have a successful life, but it's also okay to learn a trade and be successful as well. The whole idea and notion that, you know, in order to make money, in order to make, you know, a good life and to be rich and successful and have everything you want, the old idea was that you had to go to college. College was everything. If you didn't have a college degree, you weren't going to have a good job. Now, over the past decade or so, we're transitioning more into looking at trades as what they are.
I sort of agree with what you said, but...
But not all the way.
At the end, Julia's dad was successful and, like, okay. But in the beginning, he wasn't. Like, until Alberto came along...
Yeah, they were struggling.
Yeah, they were struggling. So the trade didn't really help until you had something that kind of helped you cheat.
They were benefiting each other.
Right. But,
yeah.
Right. But he was showing him that it's okay to... That you can still support yourself and your family on a trade. That you didn't need to, you don't need to have that paper education.
I don't even know if I would go like that deep into it. I think it was just very much an emotional and beneficial relationship with each other. He saw what Alberto was missing in his life, and he misses his daughter when she's not there. He's alone, and he doesn't have any help. He really is trying to fish, gut them and deliver them all by himself. And so, I mean, Alberto was not wrong. He needed him.
Yeah.
As much as he needed him.
Yeah.
You
they
know,
need
I,
each other.
Yeah.
I think it's a trade job thing. I think it's two people that need each other and can benefit each other.
Because it's such a simple time there. They're not looking at those things. I mean, she is because she lives with mom in a bigger city.
Right.
But I don't think dad's looking at the bigger world because his world's enough for him.
Right.
I think he's lonely. Alberto's lonely. And they definitely were helping each other. And honestly, if we think about it, Alberto is going to make him pretty damn successful because he knows where all the fishes are.
I mean, he could probably just jump in the water and kind of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, now we're in a whole different world here, aren't we?
Yeah. Now we know that, you know, there are mer people as well as humans. And, you know, now we have this whole, I feel like Julia's dad's just going to be.
He's going to stay on the islands. Nobody's going to talk about it.
Right?
At the end.
Because once he went to school, he was in his form playing with school.
Yeah.
Yeah, he dunked his hand in the fishbowl and it turned green.
I didn't watch the end credit. It was
just the credits. That's the credit for Spola.
Okay.
Because Julia's last name is Marco Baldo. Massimo Marco Baldo.
Okay.
Yes.
So the train number at the end, 94608, is the zip code for Emeryville, California, where Pixar headquarters is located.
Yeah. Huh. Where's the 8 thing in this one?
The what?
The what?
A112.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't found it yet.
A114. I bet it was on the Vespa.
It might be.
It was probably Vespa Price.
And there was a poster at the plaza for Disney's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. A Donald Duck plush toy can be seen in Julia's room, which is fitting because Donald Duck is super popular in Italy. I don't know why he's more popular than the rest, but he is.
It's on the train ticket.
It's on the train ticket?
It's on the train ticket that was handed to Luca.
Oh, yeah, it was. Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't even catch that.
At the very end of the credits, it says produced in our slippers around the Bay Area because due to COVID-19... It was the first movie that was made at home.
It's a beautiful movie for at home. just what we're at now.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's an okay. But it's okay.
Yeah.
You got a little bit slight limitations with home stuff.
Oh, so the pizza truck, the Pizza Planet truck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was the Vespa delivery and parked on the winding street during the climactic bicycle chase in the back.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was a instead of the Pizza Planet truck, which is there are no Toyotas.
During the final race at the end, a Pizza Planet Piaggio 8, a smaller Italian vehicle, is shown behind April.
Yeah. They Pizza Planet in Italy.
Yeah.
The Pixar ball is on one of the roofs.
That was during, that was when they were coming down the hill at the end of the race.
There's a hidden Mickey in the clouds during one of the dream sequences.
I always have a hidden Mickey.
Yeah. So a lot of Pixar employees are actually upset at the movie to make the film a Disney Plus exclusive, putting out public statements that doing it with Soul in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic was understandable, but doing it twice in a row, even with the vaccine rollout ramping up and not even putting it behind a premium paywall like Riot, The Last Dragon, started to give the impression that the studio isn't respected by Disney's execs. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I didn't see a whole lot of advertisement for Luca. I saw one, and I thought, I didn't even know, think it was a Pixar movie. I thought it was just some...
I don't think I saw any...
I saw the trailer, and I was like, okay, cool. And
I've
that was like
any of the trailer.
That was like two or three months ago.
It's a pretty fair statement that they put out. I think that that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. So around the town, there were a variety of movie posters influencing movies from that era, including Robin Holiday, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, a poster of La Strada, and a fake movie called Attack of the Sea Monster with fake actor credit, Julian Robertson, a reference to Julia Roberts.
Huh.
So, Jack Dylan Grazer, who did he play?
Jack Dylan.
He played Alberto.
Alberto?
Yeah.
He performed his vocal tracks in his own house due to COVID-19.
He was the kid from Shazam, the carpool kid from Shazam.
Okay, that's where I know him.
And it.
So the only room that provided the acoustics needed was his mother's closet. So that's where he did all of his voice work.
Huh. The thing is going back to your statement, we'll go back to the Disney statement of this being produced strictly, you know, in home, and that Disney was like, that's not good. The thing is I don't understand what the issue is, whether you're at home producing or you're at work producing, the same amount of work is getting done either way. I mean, you're probably doing even more work.
Reality is they were getting the movie done when literally they really shouldn't. They couldn't have those kids in a sound stage and sound booth close together trying to get those things done and hope that everything is sanitized properly in between actors.
Well, the thing is and this goes to a lot of businesses now, is that a lot of businesses are realizing that people are actually a lot more productive at home than they are in an office.
When they have something to do at home.
When they have something to do, yeah. Like, let's take the animators for Luca, for instance.
Like jobs like that, like animation, writing, art, the arts, I think is a more productive thing at home. But when you have something like office work, like sales or things that don't have things to do with art, at home isn't really.
Well,
my mom, she has to do work from home sometimes. Like if she can't miss the day, then those which have her do it at home. And she's like, okay, that was cool at first, but now it's just kind of annoying.
Right, and I can understand that for some people.
People can just pester you at any time, like, hey, get this done.
Right.
You know, you're at home, you're trying to relax, you're trying to do other things but work.
Right, but if you're, like, strictly working from home, like during the pandemic when a lot of companies went to at-home jobs, people are more productive because, number one, they don't have to get up as early.
They're definitely getting more rest.
They get more rest. They don't have to worry about, fixing their hair, fixing their makeup unless they have, like, a Zoom meeting or whatever. They don't have to worry about putting on work-appropriate clothing. You can literally do animation in your pajamas all day. And when you're working at home, you get more work done.
Well, it's also a more relaxing atmosphere most of the time.
There's not so much stress
behind being in an office where people, you're trying to get shit done, but people are constantly bugging you.
Yeah. As long as you have a dedicated space, you're not going to be distracted.
I mean, we have a friend that works at home exclusively, and she has an office, and that is where she does her work. And she works long days. Long days.
Yeah.
We feel you.
Yeah. Like, I would rather work longer hours at home than I would at the office, because if you're at the office, you still have that long drive home. When you're at home, when you're done, you're done. You walk, you stand up, you walk out of the office or whatever space you have, and you're at home already. It's literally a 5-second walk versus a 20 to 30, 45 minute drive home.
Yeah. It also saves up. I mean, honestly, it's better for the environment.
Saves gas, saves money.
Yeah. Austin.
Yes.
So there were actually a couple Studio Ghibli connections in this movie.
Okay.
Julia wears an orange and white striped shirt and rolled up blue jeans, which is the same outfit Tombo wears in Kiki's Delivery Service. And then the end credit sequence shows sketches of everyone's future adventures. It's very similar to the end credit sequence of many Studio Ghibli movies, like Kiki's Delivery Service and My Neighbor Totoro.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, I want to talk about the transformation real quick. Going from, I don't know if we call them merpeople.
Human to fish.
Monsters.
I mean, they are sea monsters because they have legs and stuff underwater.
Yeah.
They don't have a flipper.
Okay. Because I don't think they really...
They have tails.
...classified them as...
I think they're...
...something.
I don't know, they call themselves...
Sea creatures.
Yeah, they call themselves sea monsters. They're like, sea monsters shouldn't go with humans or whatever.
Okay. But the transformation from... sea monster to person was actually
kind of cool.
It was kind of cool.
It was pretty cool.
And I actually wondered, like right at the beginning, is it just seawater that turns them? Or was it any water?
It was any water.
Yeah.
The rain got them, and then when he spilled water at the house on him.
Yeah.
It's all water.
Yeah.
It's water.
Well, I wondered that at the beginning. I was wondering if they're going to try and make that distinction in the movie, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually very reminiscent of an 80s movie. What was that movie called?
H2O did it.
H2O did it, but there was what was that movie?
Sea Monsters.
Where she was a mermaid, and... she fell in love with an earth person.
An earth person?
Yeah. Yeah.
A little mermaid.
Splash, yeah. Yeah. But a top dweller.
Better than being a bottom feeder.
Human.
A monster.
A person.
A human. But I just thought it was kind of cool that, you had their look. And then you had mom and dad that came up and, their look and stuff like that. And
I thought the mom was going to look a bit different, but...
Yeah, I can see how she would look like that, though. Dad looks spot on.
Yeah.
Dad looks spot on. So, but... No, I was actually kind of impressed with the movie. I really was.
Something that I think is crazy is that they breathe air no matter if they're above water or below water. They just breathe the air through the water. Like, they don't have gills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, he was blowing bubbles, letting them go up, and it was just carbon dioxide coming in.
Yeah.
So they just breathe there no matter what. But yeah, fish also breathe oxygen. They just do it through the gills, but like still.
Yeah. Can we talk about Luca's first time walking?
Ass overhead.
Pretend you're falling, but catch yourself.
he caught onto it really quick, though.
He did.
Yeah.
In like
did.
10 minutes.
He also learned how to fight
really
fast.
Yeah, he's a smart kid.
Well, you got to think they kind of use their legs underwater, too, in a way to kind of walk a little bit.
I mean, they use them, they sit, and they walk around their house. They don't always float around the little house.
Yeah, I'm sure they use their legs. I mean, if you look at an evolutionary standpoint, I'm sure they still use their legs somewhat similar to humans. But, you know, I mean, they still swim and stuff. And it was kind of cool to see, you know, when Alberto said, okay, now just move forward. And he just kind of fell and kind of flopped and started to try.
That little fish flopped.
When Luca first tried walking, he used his tail. He tried to move himself with his tail.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, that doesn't work up here.
Yeah.
You got to use your legs.
Yeah. But it was kind of a...
Phantom tail was pretty funny.
Yeah. So...
Which is weird when they transform, like when their tails just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it like that?
Where does the any of it go? It doesn't make sense. It's just mythical shit.
I don't know. That's
like,
just weird.
Like, it's like any...
They're like magically, I know it's a kids movie and all, but that stuff, a tail just disappears into nothing and then comes back.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they're just supposed to be, like, mythical creatures.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a fucking sea creature. Like, we can't add any science to that.
Let's take a look at the evolution of humans, because humans do
still
have a tail.
It's a kid movie.
I understand, but humans do still have a tail. There are humans that are born.
We just
shrink
up its butt.
Kind of. We have a tail, but if we were to turn into a thing, it goes from this... To this?
Yes.
In like 3 seconds?
Werewolves grow claws and teeth.
And I just think it's weird how it just disappears.
Werewolves
are... They grow teeth and nails. Yeah.
Nails?
That would be
beautiful.
Have you ever seen
the transformation from fish to human. They didn't really talk about that.
Didn't look beautiful.
Well, I figured his first time experiencing the world and transforming for the first time,
he'd
be like, wow, that was kind of weird.
He screamed a lot.
He was like, what the fuck?
That was more of the fact that his scales were gone.
Yeah, that was his reaction to cheating.
Killing me right now.
I don't think he didn't see clothes on because they
had Jesus, he has no imagination for fantasy life. You're a D&D player for crying that loud.
What do you mean, no imagination for fantasy life?
Wrong fantasy.
All of your fantasy comes from other people's fantasy.
It was still all human.
Okay.
I don't know where she's going with that.
I don't know.
Creatures and fairies and werewolves and vampires and such.
Vampires,
though, let's just say it was magical.
Well, I just think it's part of that, you know, it's a kid's movie. I don't think kids don't care. It's cool to watch them change back and forth. You know, I did notice, though, is a lot of the animation reminded me of Bubble Guppies.
The kids reminded me that they were kids that are sea things, but besides that, not really.
I don't know, like the little goatfish?
It's just a normal fish.
Reminded me of the fish. Big ass eyes!
They were slightly
more exaggerated fish.
There was only one!
Oh, no, it reminded me of the, from,
Moana.
Yeah.
Yeah, the slightly retarded retarded chicken from Moana.
Or it's just a chicken. They have no intelligence.
It was a broken chicken. You leave that chicken alone.
It was a bit weird.
Anyway.
He saved the day.
Yeah.
So, yes, those fish were goatfish.
Yeah.
Which is fitting because there's many different types of goatfish in that area. Of
breeding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what they did with them.
Yeah, I was about to ask, but I figured that'd been a tail question again. It's just kids movies. They don't really do nothing with
if
it.
If they're farming them, then they got to be farming them for a reason.
Or are they milking the fish?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, that's one thing. That's actually a very good question.
Well, they eat fish.
Well, so we
is
see
that cannibalism?
All the rest of the...
We could eat monkey.
I mean, there are cultures that eat monkey, right?
Yeah. I don't
think
it's
Temple of Doom.
But that, can't get that fact from Temple of Doom. People eat monkey brains. Look at Indiana Jones, a fictional movie. It's like, no.
People can be badasses. Just look at Die Hard.
We can take a shot. Look at every action movie.
But, I mean, if you look at, like, the beginning sequence, and you look at the rest of everybody else that was farming, they were all farming the seaweed, kind of like wheat, and they were the only ones that were herding goatfish. Like, Luca was the only one that herded goatfish.
And he only walked around with them and then put them back in the thing.
Yeah, he took them out to pasture, and then he brought them home.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a shepherd, but that's about it.
Yeah, but we don't really...
He's gonna move these fish around.
We don't really see... Because when we...
I wish we got more of the sea... part.
The thing is, it's odd because when we see them underwater, they're eating a lot of seaweed and stuff like that. And then when they go to Porta Rosa, there's a lot of
they don't know what to do with their hands. Like,
well, Julia's father was like chopping the heads off of fish, and they were like freaked out about that.
Well, they were freaked out about that because he was also the murderer of any sea monster.
Well, they did that with any of the people that were doing that. But
then... No one doing that. It's just every single fisherman was also a sea monster hunter, so they were freaked the fuck out.
Yeah, it was just kind of an odd sequence.
I think they probably eat fish.
I would think so.
Yeah, they were eating stuff. Seaweed and
they actually eat something down there.
It's kind of like sushi.
Yeah.
California roll. Because you can't really cook it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably have the strongest stomachs.
Well, I mean, sharks eat raw fish.
Yeah.
So.
But they can also eat human stuff, like human-made stuff. So they just have, like, all-around amazing stomachs.
Yeah. So.
They can eat pasta and also seaweed.
I will say, though, that I'm a big lover of pasta. And that pasta looked fantastic.
So it's just basically pesto and lemon pasta.
Yeah.
Very boring, though. Like, I couldn't eat it.
And Parmesan. I would totally eat
pasta. I could eat white rice by itself, but I could not just eat pasta without a sauce.
It has a sauce. It has pesto, Parmesan, and lemon
pesto
on it.
I tried pesto sauce one time. I wasn't a big fan.
You have to
prepare
it correctly.
Yeah. See, I love bacon.
Don't just eat it.
Did you prepare it
correctly? No. Like, you can't just
pesto.
Taste. If you're just tasting it by itself.
No, we had it with pasta and stuff. We had pesto pasta.
I make a pesto Alfredo.
It looked like plain pasta.
Pretty good.
It was pesto pasta. He even called it pesto.
Yeah, it's
pesto.
It's a basil based sauce.
It was pesto.
with the little Italian.
I only like pesto in Alfredo. I don't like it plain.
Pasta.
I don't eat pasta though.
I love Italian food.
So, another weird thing, if we go with the tail, like where it goes, so they only have 4 digits when they're sea creatures, but 5 when they're human.
So we finally figure out where the tail goes.
The tail goes to their hands.
The tail goes up the body and into their hands and their feet. Cool. Now we figure out where the tail
went out.
You know what they're modeled after?
What?
They're modeled after sea monkeys on the old children's boxes.
Yeah, maybe.
Like sea monkey farm?
Yeah.
Look up sea monkeys.
I know what a sea monkey looks
like.
Yeah,
but like an actual sea monkey doesn't look like that. Actual sea monkey is bacteria.
Yeah.
But if you look up like sea monkey boxes that kids used to be able to use, that's exactly what they look like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, sort of.
They got a tail and shit.
Huh. There's a lot of things that have tails and shit.
They're underwater.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. You look it up?
I did. No, the sea monkeys have like 8 legs.
Did you see the resemblance?
No, I didn't, because they're pale and they also have antennas.
We looked at different sea monkeys.
So, in Julia's bedroom, there's a record cover for an artist called Niccolo Patera, a reference to Pixar animator Niccolo Patera, and also one of the voices in the Triple Dent Gum jingle from Inside Out. Niccolo Patera also has his own YouTube channel where he covers numerous songs, including many from Disney musicals and Remember Me from Coco.
Interesting.
I love how they do a lot of those little Easter eggs all over the movies, though.
Yeah. Did you know that the director had a cameo in the movie?
Yes. He was the priest?
No. So he was the card player.
Yeah, the card player.
That yells Scopa. And then...
Well, Scopa is the name of the game.
Yeah. But he's the one that says that. And then he's the loudmouth fisherman who introduces Luke and Alberto to the phrase, "What's wrong with you, stupido?"
Yeah. And there was a black and white photo of a woman on the wall in Massimo's home, which is obviously the mother of Julia, showing that Massimo doesn't like being divorced and misses his wife.
Yeah.
And the movie was obviously inspired by Studio Ghibli.
Silencio.
Yeah. So that's kind of an odd concept to introduce in not only a Disney movie, but...
Well, it's Pixar.
Well, it's Disney Pixar. But also in that time period, because divorce wasn't a prevalent thing in that time period, and usually when, like, if a husband and wife would get divorced, usually, again, in that time period, the wife would remarry. But in this one, I mean, we don't know
fully.
They didn't
tell us what
happened.
They didn't
tell us, but from the after scenes that we saw, we could kind of tell that maybe she was single and successful.
Mm-hmm. So I will agree with you for time period. For Pixar Studios, though, I don't think that's a weird concept, because they always have been more outside of the box when it comes to their movies and what they aim at children.
Yeah, it's just...
I mean, look at Up. Up was a heart-wrenching movie.
Yeah.
But there it was.
That bitch didn't have parents.
Yes, she did. The...
Up
Ellie?
Up guy didn't.
I thought he did.
No.
Because he had, like, a few people come to the wedding, and then she had a whole bunch of people that came to the wedding.
No, the younger kid, Ralph.
Oh.
He didn't have parents.
Yeah, they introduced a lot of different concepts. I think they're a lot more open with what they put out there.
Yeah.
Pixar's always been, like, the naughty side of Disney. So.
They killed people in Toy Story.
They did. So Machiavelli was also quoted for saying, "Men judge generally more by the eye than by the hand, for everyone can see and you can feel. Everyone sees what you appear to be. Few really know what you are." That's pretty cool.
Okay.
I don't know why that's in here.
I have no idea what that was. Well, that was all about.
Interesting. So we can see that their tail was missing, but we can't feel where it went.
Exactly it.
So.
Interesting.
So Luca's surname, Pagero, means hermit crab in Italian.
Luca crab.
Luca crab.
Luca crab.
We haven't touched on the antagonist.
I didn't like him.
It is your typical antagonist.
I'm not going to lie. I found him to be incredibly fucking annoying. Like, he was super annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On top of the fact that he was too old to be there, which was just kind of gross because he was out there picking on little kids.
He was too old for, like, the races and stuff.
Yeah.
Which meant he was much older than them.
He
kind of had a weak mustache growing.
It looked like he could have been, like, 20, 21.
Could have been 18, 19, 17.
I don't know about that old.
He was just, but he was much older, because if you're looking at prepubescent, then these kids are maybe, like, 11, 12.
Yeah.
So either way, he's still a good amount older than them, and didn't need to be out there fucking with a bunch of little kids and call a little girl's name.
Where's his parents at?
Obviously, they shipped him off somewhere where they didn't have to deal with him, because...
Yeah.
He was a little weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he found his position of power in a small town and tried to hold on to that.
It was a little race in a tiny town that only had, like, what, 6 people that ever competed in each part of it.
And he cheated
all
the time.
Yeah. And so he was always the winner.
Yeah. And then he kind of just bullied everybody, and he had the shiniest Vespa and whatnot.
Yeah.
Shiny.
He's the only Vespa. The other ones kind of look like...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they could take him somewhere if they do a Luca 2. Like, they could take him, like, maybe a vengeful, like, oh, you guys took this away from me.
Yeah.
Or he can just be a background character, background annoyance to... a new antagonist, but
yeah.
I think he was an okay antagonist for what the movie needed. I don't think he was the primary problem in the movie.
No.
I always kind of forgot about him when he wasn't on screen. I think the primary problem was between Luca and Alberto and exploring the new world and stuff.
Yeah.
And then he was the antagonist that kind of made it shitty for him.
Yeah, yeah. He was just, I don't know, the character itself was annoying when he was around, though.
Yeah.
He annoyed me more than I hated him.
Yeah. It's not that he was he was definitely a mean guy and an asshole. But, you know.
He was the asshole.
That's your average Pixar antagonist. Asshole that's misunderstood, but not really.
He was kind of like the brother from Toy Story.
The brother? The next door neighbor.
Yeah. He had a sister. Sister wasn't so bad. Brother was a fucking psycho.
Yeah.
And he didn't have an older brother.
No.
Brother.
Sid from next door.
Yeah.
He had a sister. Sid had a sister. So he was the brother to that sister.
He's the garbage man in Toy Story.
Yeah.
Which is okay.
There's no problem with that profession. They make a lot of money. Make good money.
They do make pretty good money.
Hazard pay is amazing.
So... kind of one of the underlying themes in the movie is the quote-unquote plight of the underdog.
I think it's Flight of the Bumblebee.
No, that's a classical. That's by Tchaikovsky. But one of the things that I really liked about that whole theme is when Luca and Alberto are looking at the Vespas for sale, and the one that catches their eye is the one that's beat up. Like, this is, you know, that's the one that they see as beautiful, and they see the potential in it versus the outward appearance of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of an underlying theme throughout the whole movie, that we see the potential in... We see the potential in Luca. We see the potential in Alberto, in Julia, in Massimo. But
they got rid of the Vespa because they realized it sucked. And the money could have been placed somewhere better.
They got rid of the Vespa so that Luca could have a better job or a better life. Because they sold the Vespa so that...
Alberto sold the Vespa.
Yeah.
Because he knew Vespa wasn't everything. Happiness between him and Luca was what really mattered. Like, the Vespa was just the connection, but after they got the Vespa, they were like, okay, this thing's cool, I guess. And so he's like, I sold it.
Yeah.
Nothing. Go do your thing.
Right. But I'm just kind of looking at the whole underlying theme of don't judge a book by its cover, essentially, which is kind of what, you know, one of the very deep underlying themes of the movie is, you know, don't judge things by how they look. And it's the same with Massimo. I mean, he's got one arm, but he's still a hell of a fisherman.
I loved his little joke, though, where he was like,
yeah.
I know what happened to that. Sea creature ate it. And they were like, wait, what? Why? He was like, I'm just joking. I came into the world this way.
Yeah. He had a really good sense of humor. And he was the perfect father figure for Alberto and Julia.
Mm-hmm.
For a while there, I thought they were going to reveal him as Alberto's father that went into town.
That would have been super weird and creepy and good.
And then...
Because he would have been a dick for leaving this kid for a year.
And then
right.
He got wet. And I was like, oh. No.
Not a sea creature.
Yeah.
No, he's not a sea creature.
No.
Does kind of make you wonder, though, like, an asshole just leaves their kid. And it's like, okay, you're good now.
And where did he go? I mean, that's not important. But it's important to Alberto's character.
He just left. And from the markings on the wall, Alberto had been alone for over a year.
He stopped counting for a while.
So the markings reach just over a year, just barely over a year, and then you take the time that he didn't mark. So he'd been alone for a little over a year. I don't know how old he actually is in the movie, but I mean that's crappy.
Yeah, like what kind of father says, okay, you're old enough to live on your own now, you're good, you can live here.
Where's mom? Like dad never came out.
Probably also died too. I think they both died. They're sea monsters. Probably.
Yeah, but again, this is where we go back to the whole boy meets world connection. Alberto is Sean.
Yeah.
And Luca is Corey.
It does not come up in any of our fun facts.
I know it doesn't, but that's the connection that I saw.
That's
when
the subtle connection that he saw because he saw a glimpse of it in the beginning of it.
So I will tell you this,
I mean,
though. In Alberto's place, Indiana Jones' hat is shown hanging from the wall next to the Vespa poster. There's also a really beaten-up typewriter, which is similar to the one used by the food critic Anton Ego in Ratatouille.
First one doesn't make sense.
Do
you have an Indiana
Jones? I don't know. Because Indiana Jones was created by Lucasfilm.
Italian.
And Lucasfilm is owned by Disney.
Italian Jones.
Everything.
But they do.
I mean, they've got...
I like when Pixar does Pixar, but whenever Disney's like, yeah, could you throw some of those in there?
Here you go.
Throw everything and everything. Make it all one cinematic universe.
It used to be fun, because it actually, like, things...
The Mickey cinematic universe.
Things used to be able to, like, actually be connected between movies, but now it's like... What do I do with all of this?
So I think it's kind of interesting. I had never heard of the Pixar theory, but this film fits in with the Pixar theory, first set forward by John Negroni, who also has a YouTube channel.
But every single Pixar movie is
theory posts that after the events of WALL-E in 2008, animals evolved over time into the monsters from Monsters, Inc., 2001. In this film, there's a species of sea creature in the 1950s that already has the ability to rapidly change into and out of human form.
Yeah, like the chameleon lizard guy?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's Alberto's dad.
He's kind of an asshole.
I'm like a scare children for a living.
In the future.
That is Alberto.
They live forever.
So one of my favorite scenes in the movie is where Alberto and Luca are swimming from the island to Porto Rosso, and you see them jumping in and out of water, and they jump out of water, become human, and then hit water and become sea monsters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they do all their different funny things that are inconsistent but very funny. He starts skiing on his water feet.
smart teeth.
It makes it cute.
I know.
It's a children's movie.
You guys keep wanting to go into the science of it. It makes no sense. But it's cute.
All right, what else do you have for us, Miss Angel?
I have so many here. I'm trying to get through them. So Julia has a similar color scheme to Phineas Flynn, red hair, orange and white striped t-shirt, blue pants. Alberto's outfit attire is similar to Conan's outfit from the Japanese animated series Future Boy Conan. The series was created by, how do you say his name? Hayao Miyazaki. Alberto appears in the final race carrying a blue umbrella in the rain, a reference to the Pixar short, The Blue Umbrella.
Yeah, there's certain ones where A and Y are I, and then A and Y are A.
When Luca first sees Alberto's place, he exclaims, Mother of Pearl, which is what Mr. Crab says on the Nickelodeon show SpongeBob SquarePants, which is also about underwater sea creatures.
Mother of Pearl.
The license plate on
Mommy Boy.
Urkel's Vespa says 5220, flip that number around and it's 0225 or February 25th, which was the day that the first teaser trailer for this movie was released.
Huh.
If you flip it around again, it's 0225.
Which means absolutely nothing.
Yes.
There's so many still. So Daniela's human form is actually modeled after Maya Rudolph.
Okay, who voiced her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Makes sense. It's a very easy. It makes it easier.
I'm sure that Lorenzo was kind of modeled after Jim Gaffigan.
Probably.
Who voices him? Maybe? I don't know.
I mean, he's got a similar skin tone.
They both have facial hair. Come on now.
They're both guides.
One thing we didn't touch on was Uncle Hugo.
Fucking weirdo.
Why is he an anglerfish?
He's part anglerfish and part other fish. Hold on, I gotta get back up
he
here.
He was actually voiced by Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah, there's a whole blurb.
Who does the Borat?
Yeah. Borat's so funny.
It's not.
I hated Borat.
It was.
Didn't even watch it.
Horror time.
It wasn't.
The new one's not for our time, but the original one is.
2006.
It's like right there.
What?
Yeah, Borat came out in 2006.
So Uncle Hugo was designed to be as scary and weird-looking as possible for a Disney film, so that Luca would dread the idea of having to go and live with him in the trench. Enrico Casarosa said that Uncle Hugo is based on the very strange creatures found in the deep. With his bioluminescent lure, he resembles an anglerfish like the one from Finding Nemo. And the barrel eye, another weird-looking real-life fish that has transparent flesh around its upper half, showing the insides of its body similar to Uncle Hugo.
He's got punches hard.
He's not used to all the oxygen up here.
The first time he punched it, he was like, hey. He's like, no, you really got to hit it. And he, boom.
Okay, we're going to go ahead. Into the final act.
Knock the wind out of
it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the final act.
All right, awesome. We're going to do your final act first.
Okay.
What did you like about the movie? What did you not like about it? Would you watch it again? Would you recommend it?
I enjoyed the animation, and I enjoyed the childlike stuff. I enjoyed the gay tension. It was a very fascinating movie, very fast-paced. It felt longer than it was, honestly. But it was very fast-paced, kind of never gave up on it, on the pace. It was kind of stressful. I was trying to figure out when they were actually going to reveal if they were sea monsters, when they were going to reveal that they were sea monsters, because I was like trying to figure out if it was really going to be the end of the movie like normal or if these people are just going to get caught. It was the end of the movie, but, I don't don't know. There wasn't nothing I didn't like. It was just very Pixar. Like, it was just something to put out mostly. I did like that there was a lot of cultural stuff in it from Italy. I like these movies a lot more than just making the same movies over and over again. Like, some person's just idea in their head, which is cool, but it's like, we get a lot of them.
Yeah.
Especially from Pixar. No, especially from Disney. But I enjoy these movies. That's it.
What?
Would you recommend it?
Sure.
Would you watch it again?
Probably will.
Probably will.
It's a Pixar movie, so it'll probably come on.
All right. We'll go around the table. Alex, your final act.
What I liked about the movie, it was simple, straight to the point. Didn't really have to think about it. You just watched it. Had pretty good animation. The world they set up, it was, like, secluded and very tight-knit and private little town. And I like that. I like the whole aesthetic of the setting. That was very fun. The antagonist, he was interesting enough to not care about. But at the same time, he was there. What I didn't like about the movie, I don't know.
The tails disappearing.
No. I don't know. It's just not my type of movie. Like, I wouldn't have, if we didn't review it, I probably wouldn't have watched it. Not a Pixar version. I'd watch them, but I'm not going to care about the whole scheme of it. I don't know. I thought it was kind of predictable, like, what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But that's with most movies anymore.
I mean, well, that's with Pixar movies anyway. I mean, they don't want to make it too, you know, complicated.
Yeah, it's just sad part. Another sad part. A little bit of happy, a little bit of tension, and happy ending.
Yeah.
Kind of how it always is.
Yeah.
But it's whatever. It's not for me, but
okay.
I like the movie.
For you, it was low price of 20.
It wasn't a bad movie. Like, I didn't dread watching it. It's just not my kind of movie. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd recommend it to people who like Pixar movies. Probably won't watch it again. I don't know. If it's on, it's on. If it's not, it's not. I'm not going to. We have to watch Luca. Put it on.
Although that is what the 10-year-old said multiple times.
Yeah. You have to review Luca.
See, that's the difference. She's a child, and it's a child's movie. I am not a child.
Percent.
In that regard, I'm not.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was okay. Nothing special.
I thought it was a cute movie, which happens a lot with Pixar. Like Alex said, it is a very simple movie, which again, it's a kids movie. It's not meant to be complicated. Although when we look at like Disney movies, there are deeper stories in there. Compared to Pixar,
yeah.
It tends to keep it pretty simple and lighthearted.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I think that's great. I did question, though, I'm still trying to figure out what the draw was that made this movie so important that, you know, you just have to see it from the kid that I can't get to sit through a movie. So
I'm trying to figure that out.
I mean, it's very true because she's very intelligent child. And there have been some really great movies that I thought would draw her in more. And this one, I'm still just kind of struggling with, like, what the big draw was.
I think it was short, simple, and kept her attention. It wasn't a movie that was drawn out, that had these drawn-out things. Like,
it kept moving.
It was very fast-moving.
Yeah, it just
had a lot of
one after another.
She very much has ADHD, and so that was just, I was just like, what?
Yeah, it's a very fast-paced movie that
the pace is drawn out. It's very short.
Constantly moving.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, it's definitely a movie made for...
You have a kid with ADHD,
yeah.
And this is a movie, man.
Because the scenes, well, you know, they're straight to the point, and then they move on.
They're nothing exciting. Like, they're not, like, action-packed fast, but it's...
Your brain's moving constantly.
They don't explain stuff that doesn't need to be explained.
Yeah.
They turn into humans, move on, and they have this race. They just so happen to have a team. They do this race. There's this bad guy. They get exposed as fish people. The end.
Yeah, I mean,
it also does
play very true to real-life relationships between kids, especially at that age where you're finally starting to really form your personality and who you are and figuring out who you are and making new friends. You know, this friend over here that you might have had for a long time, you still want to be their friend, but this friend over here is really cool, and then this friend over here gets hurt. Like, that's something that every kid deals with, and so I think that is a great aspect to it, because And like the reaction where everybody caught Alberto when he turned into a sea creature.
Yeah.
And Luca was like,
sea monster.
Threw him under the bus. Like, that shit happens in real life. And you don't mean it to, but it does, because you're saving yourself.
Yeah.
From embarrassment, from whatever the situation is.
Alberto did something stupid.
He did.
He exposed himself when out of anger and spite instead of, this is the right time
to do
this.
But they're still kids. So I like the fact that it did show that reaction where he was self-saving.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kid emotions in it.
There was. And I think that's really important. And that's one of the things I really liked about it. I mean, you, as a parent, you can dive deeper into what the movie is showing your kid. You know, but coming from a kid who grew up on after-school specials, there's a lot of underlying things in there that are great lessons for kids. They're great teaching moments. What I didn't like about it, there was really nothing to dislike. It's literally just a kids movie.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I'm not going to say this was my favorite Pixar movie. And
it's
the
level of like Toy Story.
Yeah, I do love some Pixar movies. But I thought that the world created was beautiful. I think that was part of my favorite parts of it. It was just looking at Italy from a different view.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. The idea that they did all of this at home during the pandemic was really cool. I would definitely recommend it if you like Pixar movies. If you have a kid who has a very short attention span, it's a good movie for that. I will probably watch it again because it's apparently the new favorite movie. And God knows that I literally watched Finding Nemo probably a good 500 times and Austin's young life, so I can withstand Luca.
The thing that I kind of liked about Luca was the scale ratio of exploring the world, because for Luca and Alberto, they were sea and then this tiny port town. But for, like, Wally or Finding Nemo, Wally went off of Earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, he's traveled a lot. It's just the ratios of what they explore and what's different and new to them. So, like, Wally, he explored that whole city every day, the big city, and he got taken out of the world. But Luca and Alberto, it's this little cluster.
They still stay to their zone.
Yeah. It's like...
But it was a whole new world for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole new world thing is different for each thing. And they kind of scaled this one down, because usually it's like, oh, they go so
pretty
far away
out
for what they're used to.
Yeah.
But now this one, it was literally like 10 miles.
Yeah. So, I had a lot of trepidations going into this movie. I hadn't seen any of the previews for it, and to me, it just looked like, sorry to say, but it looked like a boring kids movie.
That's how I feel, still. It's a kids movie.
I mean, it is a kids movie.
It's nothing special.
But it's one of those movies that you can literally turn your brain off and just go with it. You don't have to think through it. You can just literally sit and watch it with your kids and enjoy it. It's definitely a family movie.
Yeah.
And it's one that your kids will, you know, I mean, our 10-year-old who stays glued to her tablet, literally put her tablet in her bedroom to come watch the movie.
After she was told to.
Right, but...
But usually that's not even an option.
Yeah, usually she'll just take the tablet and leave.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, I looked over and her eyes were glued to the movie.
Yeah.
And she sat there the whole time.
So it's a big deal, honestly, in this house, because getting her to be still, minus tablet, but getting her to focus on anything outside of her little world is super hard. And I loved that she just joined us and was fairly quiet through the movie and just watched it and enjoyed it.
Yeah. And she didn't have it. She wasn't trying to spoil the movie. She wasn't like, hey, look, this is a cool part or anything like that. She literally sat there still and watched the movie. But it is an enjoyable movie. It was one that you can, like I said, you know, you can just sit there and watch. I do like the aspect that Alex was talking about, that it was just a very centralized location. We didn't get anything outside of that until after the credits. You know, I mean, it was just this little bitty town that was dealing with the fact that, you know, there's sea monsters out in the ocean. And that,
which at the time was still kind of legend. Like,
yeah.
People were still like, okay, whatever. But then there were all the fishermen that are like, no, it's there. We're going to kill it.
Yeah. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's a big reveal and this and that. And it was just a fun movie to watch.
It was easy.
Yeah.
It was an easy movie to watch.
And it was a quick movie. You know, you're not sitting there like, oh my God, when is this movie going to end?
I've had many of those moments.
It's, you know, you're watching it and then it's over and you're like, it's not one of those like, oh my God, it's over already? Or one of those where it's like, oh, thank God, it's over. It's one of those movies to where you're like, that was actually perfect.
That was kind of cute.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, you're looking at your watch or your clock or whatever, and like, huh, I still have time to watch something else.
We watched Bad Batch after.
We did. We watched Bad Batch and then, you know, the opening act of, you know, the Disney Robin Hood with the fox and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, very reminiscent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I really don't have anything negative to say about it. I'm not saying that it was a perfect movie by any sense. It's not in my top 10 list of movies. It's not in my top 10
list.
It's
not a showstopper. I mean, it's just a cute little movie.
Yeah, it's not a top 10, you know, Pixar movie list.
It's not.
Although it'd probably be in top 10 because I don't know a whole lot of.
Yeah, but like Finding Nemo and Toy Story, I have yet, those are the standard, and I have yet to find things that really catch me more than those movies.
Yeah.
Monsters, Inc. Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those movies are in like a set of their own.
Monsters, Inc. and Monsters University are my.
Yeah, like you got Nemo. As many times as I've seen it, I will still sit through Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
All of the Toy Story movies, all of them.
Brave and you know.
Is Brave I don't think it's. I don't think it's Pixar.
It's a Disney.
Disney princess movie, because she's a princess.
I just think Monsters, Inc., Nemo, Toy Story. Those are the things.
That's the Pixar trifecta.
That's the quintessential Pixar movie.
Brave is Pixar.
I still put it up there with those though. Like I look at those three groups right there. And that's what I compare Pixar to. And this one, it wasn't quite there.
No, but it's a cute Pixar movie. It's Pixar getting back to its roots,
It was good to see a Pixar movie.
It was good to see a Pixar movie that didn't involve a lot of extra added things going on.
Yeah.
It was simple, quick, to the point, and enjoyable.
It was something, honestly, and this is something they were going for, it was a great fucking movie.
Yeah.
That's what it was meant to be.
Yeah.
And that's what it did. It just let you get away from all the crap for a little bit and enjoy something with your own child.
Yeah. So, like I said, I don't really have anything negative to say about it. You know, again, it's not top 10. But it's not bottom of the list either.
No.
You know, if the kids are watching it, when it catches my eye and I've got nothing going on, I'll watch it. It's cute.
I probably go outside and do something, build something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, at the same time, it's, I don't know. It's just one of those, yeah, it was kind of cool. It was a good watch. I don't know that I would actually, like, sit down and be like, oh my God, I got to see Luca again. But if, you know, if I've got nothing going on and I'm in the mood, my daughter asks me to watch Luca, I may watch it with her just to spend time with her. As far as recommending it, yeah, I mean, watch it with your kids. Period. If you like Disney movies, if you like Pixar, if you like just fun animated movies on a Friday night when you got nothing else going on, you know, pop a bowl of popcorn, have the kids sit around the TV, and just put this movie on. Spend an hour and a half with your kids enjoying something, because that's what this movie is for.
Yeah, it was really nice to sit with our youngest and watch something, because a lot of times she doesn't want to do that. And, you know, I got to snuggle up with her under a blanket, and we watched a movie. Like,
what? Well, I do think this movie could raise questions about certain topics.
Only if I think if parents lean that way.
Only if the child is mature enough to understand. But
yeah.
I think they should have kept those sort of things. Like, that shouldn't have even been a thing that people catch if they're mature enough.
The problem is this. New movies that come out, especially kid movies, you have a set of parents that is all that they look for. And
yeah.
Then they bring it up, and then they spread that information out.
Yeah.
And then it goes,
well, even
like, wildfire.
With this one, I haven't seen, this is like the first new movie I've seen that's a kid's movie. But I wasn't really trying to take it apart and find this sort of thing.
No.
And it
no.
kind of, minus the comments that the young one said.
Yeah.
I did catch those things, and when she said those things, I was like, okay, I'm not the only one thinking this.
Yeah, which is unfortunate for her, because I wish she would have just been able to see it as a kid's movie.
Yeah, it's just a simple, they should have just kept it simple, but when they do something like that, that, like, people are unintentionally noticing.
The lingering moments didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
What?
The weird lingering moments didn't quite need to be there.
Yeah. And I can understand that. I think if they would have taken some of those out or made them shorter.
I don't have a problem with them.
No.
They just don't need to be in a kid's movie.
No. You didn't need to have
a simple
that type
kid's
of...
Undertone.
Yeah, undertone or innuendo or anything like that.
That awkward space.
Yeah.
I think you guys made it weird.
I didn't make it, your sister made it weird.
I don't think we made it weird, because the 10-year-old that is supposed to watch it, that she watched it as a kid's movie, and then she pointed it out to a group of adults who were also like, oh, okay.
Like, I didn't even notice that until she pointed it out, then I'm like...
I noticed it the entire time.
I noticed it in the beginning, like, not really in the trailers, but when they first met, I was like, okay, this is going to be that kind of movie. But then Julia came in, and I was like, okay, maybe I was reading that wrong. But then there was some other stuff that happened. I was like, okay, I wasn't reading that wrong.
If you wanted to take it apart, really, you know, if you really wanted to pick it apart and go, like, way south, is that why Dad left?
That is you're over the rainbow, and you know,
I don't know what. Yeah, I don't think he stayed in his life long enough to even know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I'm just saying.
You're over the river through
I'm
the
just
woods.
Joking. I
you're
love
past that. Grandma's house. Come on.
The movie was cute. Keep it for kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
I understand why that stuff came for kids.
I don't just think to keep it simple. I don't know why that kind of romantic kind of, not really,
it's always been
not really romantic, but
it just
tension.
To be different
that,
now.
That tension.
That's the whole premise of Up. He's an old guy who misses his wife, and they were children in the beginning.
All right.
Anyway.
They moved on to that.
We've only got
a relationship through it.
A few minutes left.
This was just an awkward linger.
It's only because you guys thought of it differently.
I don't know.
We've only got a few minutes left.
How many minutes?
Five.
Okay.
That was not my ass, by the way. Anyway, I want to say thank you to everybody here for being in the studio. Alex, we're going to miss you next Sunday.
Depending on the movie, I'll probably be here. But
yeah, we'll figure out the movie for next Sunday.
We're going to do Love Simon.
Anyway, all right. support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. They are out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. Don't judge the 99% by the 1%. There are really good ones out there. I should know because I know some of them. I know a lot of them, actually, especially veterans. And as always, be safe, be smart. Watch back here every night that we broadcast on Wiki Curiosity Media. Every Sunday night for Movie of the Week. Every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace podcast. And I think you are actually skipping this Tuesday.
This Tuesday is Dan's birthday, so we will not be having a show.
Okay. Every Wednesday for Cinephiles, which we will be having a show this Wednesday. And every Friday for Note by Note, if Jeremy can ever find a co-host.
We're not giving up.
No. No. It is on a hiatus right now. We are not canceling the show. So... there's that. All right. I want to thank all of our listeners, all of our supporters, all of our followers. We greatly appreciate you guys from the bottom of our hearts. And, yeah, I want to say have a fantastic rest of your Sunday night. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you back here Wednesday.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.